Bring you back into the Word, and we're going to stay in our series that we have started on the Holy Spirit. It seemed like last week was a good time to begin a message about the Holy Spirit because it was what? It was Pentecost last Sunday, right? So it was a great day to begin that message on the Holy Spirit, and I hope that you guys kept up with that and understood everything going there, because we're going to jump off from that message into the next one on the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be going with the Holy Spirit here for the next few weeks. So it's one of those things I told you before that I'm very excited about doing, because it's truly a message that sometimes that we forget who is the one that here is with you that grants you the power to do the things that we need to do as a church, right? But let me ask you a question this morning. Has anybody ever made a promise to you and has not fulfilled it? I mean, it seems like a foolish question, right? You know? If you're a parent, I'm sure that you've had a child at some point in time that says, come up and says, hey, mom and dad, if you do this, I promise to do this. Most of that time that comes with, I'll do the chores or I'll clean my room or whatever it is, right? And then you say, okay, but you have to do it now. And then you give them something at a time and they never follow through on the promise. The room doesn't get cleaned. They don't use the vacuum. They don't do some kind of a chore, right? It happens. You know? Happens with children, happens with adults. I don't know, maybe you're one of those very lucky people that you've never had a promise, you know, reneged on. I don't know, I'm not that lucky. But our Heavenly Father made us a promise a long time ago. He made us a promise a long time ago that He would do something. And all of you people should know for a fact in your heart and in your mind, and anybody that reads the Bible would actually know that when our Father makes a promise, our Heavenly Father makes a promise, He does not back out on it. He does not change His mind. He does not take it away. If He makes a promise, He delivers on the promise, and it's ours forever. He says, I give this to you. Well, back in history, the Father sent a prophet to tell us about a promise He had made to us. He had sent Joel, and in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28 says in there, and afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people, your sons, and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men, your sons and daughters prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young man will see visions. Will see visions. He made a promise. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Something's gone up here. But He said, I will pour my spirit on all people. In fact, when He gets into verse 29, it talks about how even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So, like He said that on all people, but He went back and still even iterated on my servants. On men and women both, I will pour out my spirit in those days. He's saying, I am going to give this to everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter your walk of life. Doesn't matter your status in life. I am going to give this to everybody. And He made a promise. In fact, this promise was so great that years later, when Peter and the people were sitting in there and the Holy Spirit came upon them, Peter reminded everybody of this promise that had been given in the book of Joel. In fact, that time he was addressing the crowd, he comes out and says, and he says the exact same thing. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. He was saying the exact same words that Joel had given to everybody. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will see visions and your young man will dream dreams. And that day, that promise came to fruition. That special day when they were up praying in an upper room, all the group of people, and the Holy Spirit came down upon them, that promise was received by them. And because we know that God is a great God and He never takes back a promise, we know for a fact that that promise is still alive and well today. That you have access to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit has in store for us, for you, for me, for everybody. All my people, the servants and everybody have access to this power that comes from the Holy Spirit. You know, God's timing is not like our timing. You know, when we like a promise given right away, right? But God's timing is not our timing. In fact, God gave that specific prophecy to Joel 600 to 800 years before He delivered on it. But God still delivered on his promise that long after. To him, that's a snap of a finger. I'm sure to them, it was a long time to wait for a promise. And they were probably at a point where they thought, well, God's not going to deliver on this promise. You know how we get sometimes? That we wait so long for something to come through, it's like we give up on it. And we don't think that this promise is going to happen, is going to be there. They said, we're going to receive the Spirit, right? We're going to receive this. And Peter went on to make sure people knew that it was for them. In the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 38, it says the fact that this gift is given to everybody. Verse 2, chapter 38, where Peter goes in and he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And verse 39, it says, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. He says, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In verse 38. And in verse 39, he says, this promise is for you, your children, and all those who are far off. Now, when we take a look at that verse specifically in that area, we think of far off. We're thinking, well, a lot of us, a lot of times, think of land, think of distance when we say far off. But in this particular instance, God is actually even in encompassing and including time. That he's saying that for those that are far off, not just in distance of what you can walk, but far off in time. Because he just proved that. I gave a promise here during this time. I waited 600 years to give you that promise. But now Peter is telling everybody that this promise is even for you. It's for your children. It's for your grandchildren. It's for your great-grandchildren. All those who would call on the name of the Lord and be baptized, they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It's for us all. And a lot of times that we come through the fact that we think that the Holy Spirit has somehow ceased in his empowerment and what he does for us in life. That it's not for today's church. Well, I'm here to tell you folks, it's exactly for today's church because we need the Holy Spirit. We have to have the Holy Spirit for us to do the job that Jesus has given the church to do. And if we don't have it, we're going to be in a sorry shape. And if you're wondering if that's happening, take a look around. Take a look at those, well, without casting dispersions, with those people who call themselves Christians that don't believe in the Holy Spirit's empowerment. They're missing out on something that's so crucial for them to spread the church, to build the church, to make the church stronger in what we are and what we should be doing. We need to remind each other all the time that we have been promised the gift of the Holy Spirit and we have access to what he wants us to have access to, that we have access to the power of the Holy Spirit and what he brings into the world and what he says, this is for you. That I would give this out to you. We have access to that. We have these certain gifts that have been given to the world. And there's more numerable gifts than sometimes we can think about. Some people go through the Bible and they count out 28 different gifts. Some go, there's 7 gifts. Some go, there's 21 gifts. I'm here to tell you that there's so many gifts that the Holy Spirit can give you that sometimes you cannot even count them. But we're going to narrow our vision just a little bit. And we're going to look at some specific gifts. And we're going to break these down over the next few weeks. So that way we will truly have an understanding and people will not get lost as we walk through who the Holy Spirit is and what he does in our lives. What he specifically can do in your life. We need to know that these gifts are here for us. And what are these gifts? What are these gifts that have been revealed to us, that given to us? Well, if you have your Bibles or your apps, I want you to turn in your Bible or your app to 1 Corinthians. Because Paul wrote in his letter to Corinth in his first time around, he wrote about many of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what they are and how they work. And we're going to touch upon it just a little bit this morning of some of these gifts. We're not going to do all of them today. We're just going to do a few of them. But turn into 1 Corinthians to chapter 12. And for those of you that are there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, I want you to look at verses 4 through 6. Well, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth concerning spiritual gifts that are given to the church. And here he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone it is the same God at work. There are different kinds of service, gifts, and working. Many kinds of things that come out that the Lord says, here, these are available. The Holy Spirit has made these available to everyone. But there's something specific that he said in here that really brought attention to what these gifts are and how they're distributed, how they're given out to us. So if you go to verse 11, it says in here, in verse 11, it says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. The Holy Spirit determines what gifts you get, folks. Determines what gifts I get. He gives them out as He sees fit, and He wills it. The Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit's in charge of that. But no matter how He gives them out, the Holy Spirit gives them out for the simple fact that He wants to build up us, to build up you, to build up me, to build up anyone that would call themselves a follower of Christ, to build up the church, to have it grow in its maturity, not just in numbers, but in the way people see themselves and look at themselves in Christ's image. The Holy Spirit does these things. But even in all of that, how the Spirit wills it, or how the Spirit determines, not each one of us will get and receive all the gifts. You will not receive all of them. I will not receive all of them. We will receive the gifts that we are supposed to have. Sometimes when we look at people, when we think of people, especially those that are hold a special place in our lives, our mentors, whoever they might be, we look at them, we go, they have these gifting. This is the gifting that I want. And you strive after that gifting. I mean, you pray for it. You work towards it. Everything you can get. And all of a sudden, it's still not coming. It's like, how come I'm not getting this gift? Lord, I'm praying for these things. Where are you at? How come I can't have these things? That's because the Holy Spirit gives as it wills, as it determines. And if it has determined that you're not to have this gift right now or at all, you have to be okay with that. It doesn't mean that you stop striving for things. You don't stop striving to be better. You don't stop striving to have a greater connection with the Lord. You stop striving to grow in your faith and fellowship. What it means is that you pray for what the Lord wills. Lord, if this be your will, this is what I would like. Sometimes when we don't receive what we pray for, when we're not receiving the gift that we think we should have, we're not getting something that somebody else has, we become very discouraged. And we become discouraged enough, we start going in the wrong direction. We start thinking to ourselves how I must not be worthy of this gift. What have I done wrong? Where have I gone? Should I even be striving for this? Why would I believe in this if I'm not going to get this? If I just think I'm not worthy to be here and to have God love me? We start looking at our lives that way, folks. We become so discouraged that we just stop. We stop going forward in our faith and our fellowship with Christ. And when that happens, things go really wrong. But the part is, I want to bring it to your attention that just because you don't receive something particularly you've been praying for, especially a gift, doesn't mean that God is mad with you, that you're unworthy. It just means, hey, maybe God's got different plans for you. Maybe he's got something pictured in your future that you need to get ready for, and you're striving towards this when he's going this way. Happens all the time. That we get in our mind, we get in our heart that, hey, this is where I think the Lord is showing me where to go. And the next thing you know, it's like, how come it feels like I'm just off track? Well, it's probably because you are. That God has got this specific plan for you in life. And you're not on the same path, on the same trail he's on. So you're not getting those things. You're not getting the gifts. You're not getting those, you know, multitude of things in your life that you think that I need this to get where God wants me to go. We shouldn't give up. We need to strive after whatever gift that the Lord wants to give us. We need to be thankful for whatever gift that the Lord gives us. We need to be humble in the gift that the Lord gives us. And sometimes this is a problem. When we are given a gift, we get set outside of who we are. Whatever gift that you're given in life, whatever gift that the Holy Spirit brings to your life, whatever gift that is, you're supposed to serve humbly, humbly in the body of Christ. You're supposed to make that part of who you are in whatever gift you have. Romans 12, 6a says that we are to have different gifts according to the grace given to each of them. We are have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. That means that you have something inside of you that God has placed inside of you that he wants you to work for his good. And you have a gift that has been given for that specific grace, that specific area that he wants you to work. And a lot of times we look at those gifts and we go, okay, I have this gift, but I want this gift. We don't pay attention to what we should be doing. We pay attention to what we want to be doing. And when we get there, things don't work out well for us. Because we are not all the same, folks. I'm telling you what. You know, I understand that I'm a unique looking individual. And I'm not saying pretty. I'm just saying unique. But God made me the way I'm supposed to be. God made you the way you're supposed to be. And because of that, he has given you certain gifts to have. We talked about a specific gift that somebody has who is able to draw in an hour that spectacular chalk drawing out in the foyer. I don't have that gift. I may never have that gift. But that's because I am who I'm supposed to be. They are who they're supposed to be. And they have been given certain gifts to use and the glory of the church and the glory of God. And they're to use those humbly. Whatever gift you're given, you use it humbly, right? But we do. We become so discouraged that sometimes we just stop going forward. We stop seeking the gifts entirely. That when we don't see the gifts working in our lives, that we give up on everything. We actually stop pursuing God. And this is where it becomes a problem. We're supposed to seek these gifts. And there's many different gifts of ministry in the church. Many different kinds. In fact, Paul wrote in his books, in his letters, he wrote of many different kinds in there. Go read through Ephesians, Galatians, Corinthians. Read through all of those letters. And Paul talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit profoundly. There are gifts that are given for the service in the church, such as the apostles. Now, there's not a whole lot of apostles. There really isn't. But that is a gift given through the Holy Spirit for them to be apostles. There's also prophets, right? We all know what a prophet is. That's somebody that gets a message from God that it's for the church, that they bring it forward for the church. And they reveal these things to the church. There's also the evangelist who goes out into the world and proclaims to unsaved people the gospel. Folks, we don't all have that gift. There are some extraordinary people out in this world of evangelism that go out and do something that I can never do. Not to that extent. They are just blessed by the Lord to be able to talk to people. We see them all the time, missionaries that come in, that go out and have it in their heart to go out into the world and speak the word of the gospel to unsaved people. There's people who are elders or pastors in the church that are gifted to oversee the church and its needs. There's teachers gifted to explain the word and teach people the word. There's deacons who provide just a practical assistance for a whole lot of people. Those that you know are good, upstanding pillars that just, they know how to assist people in their lives, wherever they might be. There's helpers, and we have a lot of helpers here, folks, that just help in everything. It seems like, you know, if you need to help, somebody's there to just raise their hand and say, I will help you do this. There's administrators. There's actually people gifted in administration. Did you know that? That those that just truly understand the workings of a business or a system to say, hey, I'm here to help guide and oversee, especially the activities of the church. That they would have this inside of them. The Holy Spirit also has helpers and workings where it goes, hey, I want to give this gift of being an encourager to this people. Just a truly expounding encourager to this person. That they would go out and they would see somebody and motivate others, especially Christians, to become part of a deeper relationship with Jesus in their discipleship life. There's also those that are extremely blessed in their giving. Giving of their resources. This is not always money, folks. We was talking here in the building the other day with some people, and I said, sometimes the hardest thing to give up is your time. Time is a resource. But there are people that are truly blessed in giving of their time, whatever resource they have, to help other people out. Others that are also especially blessed in being a comforter for people. You know, there's been a few times when I've been around some people and you can just say the wrong word at the wrong time. And then no matter what you were trying to do, it all just kind of poof, fizzles out. But the Holy Spirit allows us, gives us the gifting to do these things. And all these gifts that are given, the ones I've mentioned, they're truly not encompassing of all gifts. But these ones that I've just briefly brought up, it takes all these kinds of gifts and more for the church to accomplish what Jesus has asked us to accomplish. So much. Jesus said, I'm going to give you some work to do, but I'm not going to leave you out here to do it alone of your own strength. He says, I'm going to give you the strength to do it. I'm going to give you the person. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit that will allow you to do the things, the extraordinary things I'm asking you to do. And these gifts are available to all that would call themselves a follower of Jesus. That would believe in their heart and confess that they are a follower of Jesus. These gifts are available. That's that initial baptism of the Holy Spirit. You remember what that felt like? If you've never felt that, we need to talk. If you've felt that, you remember what it felt like. Thing is that you might have one of these gifts. You might have many of them because you can have many of them. The Holy Spirit gives out as He determines. But these gifts that I'm talking about are not just the common courtesy type gifts that you would maybe grow up and learn from your parents, your grandparents, school teachers, or whatever. These are the extraordinary gifts given even on top of that. Something that is truly above and beyond what you would attain naturally. These gifts can grow as you do. These gifts can grow as I do. I might start out with this one specific gift. May all of a sudden I have another gift. But the simple fact is that no matter what happens, once you've been given a gift, it is never taken away. This gift is never taken away. Sometimes we can use this gift incorrectly. Sometimes we can use it for evil purposes. But the gift is never taken away. But God says, if you're going to use my gift like that, I am not going to anoint you to use it. That's a big difference, folks. It's a big difference between having a gift and being anointed to use a gift. And if you want to know the difference, take a look at King Saul. King Saul was blessed and anointed with a gift of leadership. And he made some mistakes. Mistakes the Lord told him not to make. So what happened? He took his anointing away. And what happened to King Saul? He still had the gifts. He just didn't have the Lord's anointing. And these aren't the only gifts. Like I said, these are just the tip of the iceberg of these gifts and what they do. There are other gifts. There's manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about those. We're truly going to talk about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. These are manifestations that are given to individual believers in their life. And they're truly a miraculous, extraordinary thing. They're more rare, they're more uncommon, but they're still available to everybody. They're available for you to seek them. They're available for anybody in the church. And when I say you, folks, I want you to understand, I'm not pointing a finger at you. I'm pointing a finger at the church. These are available for the church to seek them, to be anointed by God to use them in the building of His church across this world. Because these gifts are for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to uplift the church. And we forget that sometimes. We forget the fact that in our walkings with God and things that we get a gift, we start using them for our own purposes. That's where the anointing goes away. These gifts are given to us for the simple fact that it's to uplift, to build, to edify the church, to make it greater, to grow believers in their way. But folks, whatever gift you're given, you're supposed to use it for love, right? Whatever God gives you in life, you're supposed to use it in love, correct? Apostle Paul, he talked about how, well, his famous letter, the famous chapter in that letter, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, most people know it as a love chapter. That he tells people that you're supposed to use your gifts in love. But there's a particular song out in this world. It was a very popular time. I loved it. It was written by For King and Country. And it was called Proof of Your Love. Where he nails it down and he takes these excerpts from chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians and he writes this down in such a way that people really connected with it. Where they sing, if I sing but don't have love, I waste my breath with every word. Right? If I speak with a silver tongue, convince a crowd, but I don't have love, I leave a bitter taste with every word that I say. If I give to a needy soul but don't have love, then who is poor? It seems all the poverty is found in me. When it's all said and done, when we sing our final song, only love remains. Any gift that we receive, we're to use it in love. We're to use it to build the church. We're to use it to reach others that need Jesus. We're to use it for God's purpose. Because Jesus said that we're to love one another as I have loved you. We're to love one another as He loved us. And that's the biggest thing that we need to take from these gifts. That these gifts empower us. And they are an empowerment. They're something truly extraordinary. But we're to use it because Jesus wants us to love others. And he gave it as a clear and concise message to his disciples. And that message comes to us. Love is the big thing. The world's full of those who give. It really is. All you got to do is take a look at any newspaper, advertisements. You have these people that give all this stuff, but they don't give it out of love. It's either an image thing, it's a tax thing, it's a karma thing. They give out of their own selfishness. They don't give it out of love. It's not everybody. Whatever we do, wherever we walk, wherever we speak to, whatever gift we use it because God loved us and wants us to love others. That's kind of the secret of this, of empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That if you're loving people and you're loving God, that means you're probably going to be anointed. And we use these gifts that he's given us in an anointed way. And speak life into people. Because we know love. We know love. If you know Jesus, you know love. If you don't know this love, now's the time to get to know Jesus. Because that is the greatest love that you will ever feel in your entire life. The love of Jesus. So as we come and we remember and we spend extra time with our family and friends on a special weekend, Memorial Weekend, we have time off. Let's remember the love that we're supposed to give out no matter where we're at. We're family, we're friends, whatever we're doing. Use your gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you. And the Holy Spirit, use the gifts that he might give you for love. Okay? So let's stand and let's worship the Lord. Let's sing before we start our special weekend of just celebrating this wonderful country, but also celebrating our Lord Jesus Christ in our life.